items, and I think we start at the bottom because some of these others are repetitive. But I guess with Jerry Sims coming forward, it would just be an approval because that was approved by the park board. I was informed by the chairperson.
I would assume that it would just be an approval because it was already approved by the park board.
Okay.
Is it here, or is it something that would be forthcoming?
Forthcoming. It's in here.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, I was at that park board meeting when they originally approved that. So
would you just like me to send it through AP?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The question is, whom does it go to? And does it go to the city? And is it the city that's going to distribute it? If you would find that out, then
yes,
that'd be.
Yes, it is. Okay. There's a letter attached to the invoices. Okay.
And also attach the intergovernmental agreement that we have with Rockaway to that for the other park. We have other park projects that have intergovernmental agreements. And they'll be laid probably with Frank's material. Just attach it to whatever that is when you send that. Agree.
On number 8, why would we need to put that on the agenda? Why can't we just allow them to move forward with their...
That's fine.
Just to do whatever it is that they're doing?
I think so. I don't
think it takes a motion.
Did you read the notes?
Hmm. I read what was on the right side. Yes.
Yes.
So
he's just requesting to retain that amount and not have to
retain it within. He wants to utilize it for housing programs.
Correct. There's a partial reimbursement that was not fulfilled by the state, and he wants to retain that amount to utilize.
He has that, and he wants to use it. So give it me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 4. We're ready to move forward with that. Pat says she has everything. You have everything necessary. Legal description, everything in the ex officio deed. If you don't, do you have that?
I have the legal description, which I have sent her. I do not have the ex officio deed. She asked me for it through Cindy.
Okay, would you just... We're ready to move forward on the whole thing, and if you want to send it back...
She asked you for it through who?
Her assistant.
They're asking for the legal description.
Well, she thought she had everything down here, and she doesn't. Pat, so just tell her we're ready to move forward, give her what she needs, and have her write up the agreement.
Okay, I'll talk. Okay.
And then one action item we need you to do while I'm thinking about it is the Board of Architects, okay, we believe we've been requested to be there, and we can't find the documentation.
Okay.
Pat would like you to contact the Board of Architects and see if we're supposed to be there on December 10th. Just contact them directly because we definitely don't want to miss an appointment if we're on there.
And let them know that. We just need to have a copy of that document.
We're not asking to be on the agenda. We're just saying if we're supposed to be there, let us know.
Okay. Here's the thing. Go ahead and send P&Z and us a notification of whether we're supposed to be there or not.
Right.
We want to know if Bob's involved.
Bob's involved, we need to know that too, because we're probably going to go if Bob's going.
Okay.
Number 7 is not ready yet. We talked about that in executive. So.
Can you... Number 1.
I've got to meet with him. I did not do that. We've approved how many? 3. And there's a 4th one.
There's 3 others.
There's a couple others.
Those are tied to that plan. And so that plan has to be bid out, though, is the problem. We have to bid out that solution.
Right.
And that's why I'm supposed to get with him to figure out the next step.
Okay. So if you would let me know.
I will. Actually, we could actually, we'll leave it on there for now because we got to do something. There has to be action taken. Okay. Number 2, guys, we got a response back. Remember? Look at number 2. We got a response back already.
Yes, but that response I was hoping would be...
So what do we can't...
Do we call them forward and ask them what they're...
Well, I'm just saying we need to let them know we got a response and we can't...
Do we want to call them over here and ask them if they have received a response yet?
Those leave alone. Okay, we'll leave it alone. Okay, and number three we're not touching right now. We're working something out on that, so just leave number three alone.
Pat has that in her hands.
She's taking that one.
Number five and number six, I'm going to report on very shortly here to the commission, so we can mark those off.
Mark those off?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Gotcha.
Another thing, can you
schedule? I'm sorry, sir.
Go ahead and schedule what you're going to schedule.
Schedule an executive session meeting for us Monday morning while we're at the lake for all four subsections. And we will get together at the lake to discuss personnel, contracts, and litigation and whatever else. It's just that's where we're going to be.
The fourth one that's always on that real estate. Do you know what time we're looking at?
8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh. I forgot what I was even going to say. What? Oh. Ask Amy, how come I'm the only one that ended up with this?
I can tell you.
Okay.
That was what I got out of your office.
Okay.
I'll
just
give it
that.
That
needs to go back to Dan.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I thought
it was last night. Information from Mr. Hausman.
What?
That's the reason I've got it. So,
yes.
Yeah. So he'll keep everything.
She is scheduling for us executive session Monday morning while we're at the MAC conference, 8 a.m.
Perfect. I'll keep the note. That's perfect. Okay. That's all I got.
Anything else?
No. Thank you
kindly.
Accounts payable, journal entries, and transfers?
Here you go.
I need to go grab Rick and Mike because he needs to talk to you about something there. Yes.
About accounts payable?
Yes.
Motion to approve. Well, maybe we should do payroll.
Let's move to payroll.
Well, motion to approve payroll.
Yep. Is it our second?
I think it is ours.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve payroll. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Payroll is approved.
Mr. Finley?
Yes.
Do you have something for us?
Kind of, if you're going to start talking about the end of your end schedule as far as the holidays and stuff. We need to
no, we're talking about accounts payable.
Aware of that as far as for accounts payable, when the last accounts payable for the year would be.
December 31st? So it would be work. Towards the end of the year.
That is real close, but that won't work.
30th?
Oh, you're thinking.
Normally we cut off probably, well, if you're going to approve it, we would cut off.
29th?
2 weeks?
19th, I think.
My suggestion.
19th, 18th, somewhere in there.
I think the 19th is probably what it is.
My suggestion is that we might let everyone know that they can't spend anything past a certain date unless it's an emergency, because if we purchase it prior to the end of the year, we're supposed to pay for it prior to the end of the year, by the way.
That's fine with me.
But we can do that.
No,
we can do that, and we can request everybody to make their purchases by a certain date.
Ron, I don't know that you. They're going to be purchasing gas that will be purchased in December that will be going next year. Those things like that, they're necessities. We can't do that.
I understand.
So,
what we're doing is what you're saying is we're not going ahead and paying those at the end of the year.
They will not be paid until 2013.
What if they're approved?
If the check's not written over, how you going to see them?
If this commission approves payment, you won't pay it till the next year?
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting we're going to do that. I'm just thinking
you
how we...
You understand that the check has to be processed. That takes time.
I understand.
And that's what I'm asking. It's time to make sure that happens.
Okay. So you need us to come up with a date. Your suggestion is?
The 19th is what I would really like. I believe that that's... Anything after the 19th would be helpful.
You getting that, Dan?
Let us, I've made note on that. Let us chat about that. I'm assuming you're going to send something out that this is the recommendation of such and such, and yeah. The 19th, which falls on a Wednesday, correct?
That would allow us to pay those bills on the 21st or something like that. I mean, you guys are approving it.
We're going to chat about it, Rick. We've got.
So you want that
in the minutes? I made a note. Yes, the auditor has requested that we establish the 19th of December as the last day for approval of invoices, bills.
The term receipts, and you guys would approve them on the 23rd.
I see.
I think it's the 23rd.
Accounts payable.
Motion to approve accounts payable, checks 331-72 through 331-422, and one transfer from insurance from county clerk to election fund. That'd been scary when I said
sir,
that.
Sir, second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks number 331-272 through 331-422, and a journal entry from the county clerk's fund to the elections fund. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Upcoming holiday schedule. Did you say something about holidays when you stepped in? That was.
That kind of plays in when we do this last week.
I took it upon the liberty, gentlemen, to talk to Brendan Neal over in the court system, and they don't know yet either from the governor if they're going to be open Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, and they're awaiting a decision from the governor's office. So, just want to give you a spiel.
Are you aware if the state has in fact declared Christmas Eve as a holiday at any time?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not either. Are you?
Ron, I'll take that back. I'm sure that if Christmas fell on Saturday, they probably would.
Well, if Christmas falls on Saturday, then officially the holiday is Friday. But what they're talking about is Christmas Eve. Okay, are we wanting to hold on that, Jim, until we hear from
state? I think we're hold on that. We've got two or three options that we're considering.
I think we can wait another, if we would just, when talking to Brenda, I think she'll probably find out, not next week, but probably the first part of the week following Thanksgiving, if we can pretty much just put it back on the agenda maybe for that Monday after Thanksgiving. How's that? Can we do that, gentlemen?
Yeah.
That gives us a little more time to wait, see what the state does.
I will let Mr. Dixon know. He just came upstairs and asked about it again. He's receiving more and more calls as we get closer.
Okay. To Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Branson Lakes Area Legislative Partnership 2013 priorities.
At least those are on that. Doing that pile, it should be attached to that. Oops, sorry. Hi. The legislative priorities that were in 2011, which they're wanting to reiterate for 2012 priorities, they want to do them again for 13, was the support of the tourism funding based off the legislation that was passed. So full funding the tourism budget as one of the legislative priorities. Their position has been the opposing of the repeal of the income tax and the replacement of a state sales tax, basically a fair tax. They're opposed, the priority has been opposed to a fair tax. And in the And then any legislation that would be opposed to planning and zoning in Stone County. Because remember, this partnership is two counties. This is Stone and Taney County Legislative Partnership. So it's two chambers, and we're part of this priority. But those are the three things that were the priorities for 2012. In Stone County, they had multiple ballot initiatives, if you remember back-to-back, about repealing P&Z within Stone County. And so that was one of the priorities, is opposing any ballot language.
Let me read that if I could, because it's more specific. We propose legislation specific to our area on P&Z that would relieve the repetitious, expensive, continuous balance on planning and zoning in Stone County. This would be accomplished by increasing signatures by a percentage at each election and or having the initiators pay the cost of elections after the second election in 1 year. I suppose if you're petitioned to put an issue on the ballot three times within 1 year, that's going to get pretty doggone expensive. And I don't have any opposition to that.
If you're petitioned to do so, then you have to, right?
Right. We oppose the repeal of income tax and its replacement with the state sales tax, or the fair tax. And they support, as you said, the full funding from the Missouri Division of Tourism Tax.
And so, are we to send a support letter, or what do we do?
All we're supposed to, if we are contrary to this, or we want to add additional ones, we're to submit those. And if we don't want to support these, we're supposed to send a letter. Otherwise, it will be, this is the priorities. They're just asking for...
I think that we would be in line to approve a motion that supports their legislative...
All right. I move that we approve the proposed legislative priorities for the Branson Lakes Area Legislative Partnership as presented.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. We approve the legislative priorities for 2013 for the Branson Lakes Area Legislative Partnership as presented. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. County board appointments.
Gentlemen, we had a position resigned from the Taney County Health Department. We had a letter from Mr. Berry and board recommending a replacement. I would move to accept the recommendation of the health department naming, how is the official?
Della Russell
to the unexpired term. I believe, is that correct? Because it wasn't expired. It was an unexpired term.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded that we appoint Della Russell to fill the unexpired term that was previously held by Keith Barker, who resigned as a member of the Board of Trustees of the Taney County Health Department. I give you a copy of that letter for your minutes. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Gentlemen, we have a list, if I'm looking on through here, of other appointments that we need to be considering. I'd like to run through these to see that when they are up. But if I'm not mistaken, it talks to the IDA board. It talks to Taney County Transportation Advisory Board, Library Board.
We have a
P&Z Board. SB 40 board.
And sewer board. The sewer board, we know there's two terms that are, at least one term is expiring at the end of this year.
Yeah.
At least one, if not two.
And they do want to be replaced, is the way I understood it.
That's correct. I know that we have to do some corrective motions on the library board appointments because we appointed them to the wrong staggered terms.
Do we want to set that up for the next meeting, or do we wish to
do
that?
No, I think we roll that over. I think the first of the year is when we originally set that up. Now, I don't know how this is set up on this library board business, but on the others, I think there was a motion made by the Tannehill County Commission to set those up at the first of the year.
We could do the...
There may have been, but statutorily on the library board, those appointments should be made first of, before July of each year, and then the term run from July to the end of June.
Any of those that, that are statutorily obligated to do, well, I'm sure that we need to go ahead and do those. But what I'm thinking is we had some, in our appointment book, we had some terms that were filled, and just like the one we just did with the health department, we had other terms that were expired, and we decided that we would replace all those at the first of the year. I believe if we look back in our minutes,
that's fine. I know that the sewer. I know the P&Z. He will not be able to serve beyond the December 31st date, so it will be an empty seat. On that one, I thought there was another department, there was going to be another board that was going to be like that also. But we can either post it for later on this year or wait till under the new commission, either way.
I think we need to start, we need to make this correction as quickly as possible on the correction of the library board, but the others that, because there's been meetings and issues brought up, we need to make this correction with, and probably post it for a week from Monday or something, or whenever we decide to post it, and then the others look back and see when we need to fill those. Sometimes it takes a little time to get in touch with the people that are on there to make sure that they want to go ahead and serve other terms.
Right.
I think it was presented to us about the extension office, the terms were made also.
The on the library board, I feel that it's particularly important because of the fact that just this past Tuesday they had submitted to us a request to move forward with a ballot issue for April of 2013, that we, in fact, correct those appointments. The question has been raised as to whether or not we have a valid library board because of the appointments and the process was taken. So it's, again, I feel it is their best interest and our best interest that we do that ASAP. So my suggestion is if we don't address it today, that we do it at our very next meeting.
To address the request?
No, to address
board
the appointments so that we have a valid library board.
Okay. So you want to post that for Monday after Thanksgiving?
That's what I thought. No, I
okay,
didn't
that's fine with me. We just
let's post that for Monday after Thanksgiving as a board appointment.
I think that the adjustment is going to be simple. For example, we should have appointed two individuals to one-year terms. We appointed one.
Right.
Then we appointed two individuals to two-year terms. We should have appointed
one. We did one.
Anyway,
yeah.
We need to make some adjustments and some changes.
Okay.
And we also need to either reappoint or appoint new individuals to those to the one term that would have expired this past July. So we will schedule that for our very next county commission meeting then. Anybody else that we need to appoint to any of the boards today?
No, sir.
I had asked for the Holly Sub discussion, and that was to give you gentlemen a quick update of the meeting that I had regarding different political subdivisions and potential levies that may or may not be, in fact, suggested for next April. Representatives were there from the 911 board. Representative was there from the tourism district. Representative was there from the library district. And I represented the county commission regarding the potential use tax. It was a good meeting. There were great comments and a collaborative effort from everybody that was involved, trying to understand what each other entity's needs were, the priorities were. We didn't prioritize what would be, as a group, a recommendation to come back to this commission for which issue should or should not go on the April ballot. Ann McDowell, who was representing the tourism district, in fact said that it was a couple of years before they have to get on the ballot.
Okay.
And it might have even been three. And even though they would like to have that issue before the voters within Taney County as quickly as possible, they don't think it would be in the best interest of themselves or anyone else if there were a number of issues that were on the ballot. Sarah Kleinfelter represented the library district, and of course they had recently spoke to us about their desire to get on the April ballot. Dave Woolery and Tammy Morton met with us as well. They represented 911. Dave has a formal presentation for us on the 26th, which he will be given to the county commission as to what the different districts' thoughts are and stakeholders' thoughts are for the 911 issue. He went a little further to give a couple of his own thoughts and insights regarding this issue, but that they will not have all the political subdivisions' final votes back until that time. And he thought formally that we need to have those issues because if, in fact, that April 13th, or the April 2013 election date is picked, then they will be promoting that. If not, obviously they will not be.
Okay.
The possibility exists that they might need more time for education, he stated. And so there is a likelihood coming from the poly subs that that won't be the date they choose, but he said that he would know by the 13th from all that are currently stakeholders.
Okay.
In addressing the use tax, while I told the individuals that were there that it was important to us because we're going to be losing, at least on the outset, $250,000 in annual revenues divided between the different sales taxes that we have, and it will impact our budget, obviously, to the tune of $250,000 annually, that at least I personally, and I did not speak for the county commission, felt that some of the other taxes may be more important than that, than $250,000 is to our overall budget,
mm-hmm.
although the $250,000 is $250,000, and that will be important to us. So while no conclusions were reached regarding that date, we at least did have an understanding that there are other districts out there that will be involved. I spoke with Dean Krutoff at the event for Laura Bush. Dean thought that it would be advisable, when I told him what we were going to be meeting on, if perhaps the cities were included and even the schools, to have long-range discussions about when tax issues were going to come up, what might be most favorable and advantageous for each district, and how, in fact, we might be able to support one another in the promotion of different needs throughout the county. So with all that said, there was no clear recommendation that was brought forth to the county, other than, obviously, the library district has, in fact, already submitted their
request,
and we may, in fact, get a request from 911. So I wanted to pass on to you what happened in that meeting. It looks to me like if we delay the use tax, if, in fact, the tourism people say we don't want to get on the ballot with other taxes, then we're down to at least two plus some school issues. I know that City of Forsyth has already stated that they're putting a sales tax issue on the April 11th ballot for fire protection. I'm pretty sure that's the reason that they had included. I haven't heard about the other cities or political subdivisions. I included in that poly subdivision, I wanted to note that when we have our next county commission meeting, I will be directly addressing, hopefully with the library board, the comments that were found in the recent article within the Taney County Times, which inaccurately depicted what happened at last Tuesday's meeting. And I think it's fairly important for the public to know what actually did happen in that meeting rather than something that was printed in the paper that is false. And that is, I was quoted of saying, I was not on the commission when they formed the board, the library board. And, of course, the truth of that is I was here, and the three of us voted to form the library board. And number two, that I wouldn't have been on the positive side of it, and I wouldn't have been in favor of forming a board. So I will be addressing the fact that I never made those comments. I have had all of those comments dictated, and all the minutes have been approved by the clerk's office and by the commission office. And I'll make that presentation because I believe that the Times needs to print a retraction. And I'm sure that the library district doesn't want to have me on record falsely of being against this issue. Discussion about what I've just presented regarding different political subdivisions?
No, I mean, I just think we need to figure out the next time we're going to get with the library board and for their purposes. And what did... Do we have a date for the 911 when they're presenting? What day was that?
9/26, November 26th.
So next Monday, a week from this Monday.
A week from Monday.
Okay, well, then I guess my thing is we'll wait until after that presentation to schedule something. So, no, I have nothing else right now.
Managed print services. Mr. Erickson, Mr. Riss. Is he on the air?
He's on the air.
All right. So on Monday, I was invited to come up and talk to you guys about what would this complete copier printer makeover really cost, right? Those were the details I was given. How'd you like me to give it to you? You know, I seriously do.
I would like, if you can't, hey, so what we were updating from Mr. Erickson was that we thought this proposal for a fixed rate on a certain size device. Then, in further inspection, found out that we need more than those devices. We need smaller ones and the cost associated. Then obviously we're talking about acquiring equipment.
Right.
So I guess we've got two things. We're looking at a capital improvement of equipment, and we're also looking at the cost of if someone's going to manage the actual printing. So.
Right.
And I guess a device count would be nice too. So.
Well,
why don't you jump in there?
I have answers to all of that.
Right.
Just which order you want it.
Yes.
I'll throw it at you as it's here. Okay, so yeah, we've spoke to a couple vendors. They've hit us with, Mr. Erickson and I have talked to them numerous times, and every time we talk to them, we get different costs every time, but I think we keep refining our questions to them. Yes, at one point we did have them narrowed down to one price for a copy, but after looking into that, it was going to be that number per copy was actually only what we would get if we were to print off of a copying machine style, printer.
Right.
Well, like Mr. Erickson is a one-man office, it's not going to be cost-effective for the county to put a copying machine directly in his office just so he can print his purchasing documents all the time. So, so a smaller desktop laser printer, of course, is more, reasonable for his application. also, we have multiple departments, I guess, the circuit clerk, the prosecuting attorneys. They've grown very attached to their personal laser printers that are on their desk, and they really want to keep their employees at their desk and working, not leaving their desk, going to the copying machine, getting, you know, I think there's possibility of like a water cooler effect that we're trying to avoid. Okay. So a personal laser printer at every workstation.
But they don't currently have a personal.
Yes, they do.
They personally have something right, an inkjet or something right there now.
They have laser. Every desk? They have laser printers on
something.
Every desk.
Yeah. Yep. Not all of them, though.
Most of them.
Not every employee.
There's already 16 personal laser printers there now, so it's substantial.
Look, okay. You're talking about one department.
That's just one department, yeah. That's just the circuit clerk, for example. But the problem in her department is not all of them are the same model. They're not the same brand. So when we're buying toner or replacement parts, we have to buy different parts and different, you know, supplies every month. Once we get everything on a uniform machine and brand, of course, we can buy them.
How many devices are we needing?
Well, I don't know. It's a big number.
Throw the number out.
All right. You asked for it.
Well, I know it's a big number. I know it's a big number.
I still think there is a discussion to be had of who really needs it now. I know Mr. Erickson and I have talked about there are certain departments right now, like for instance the circuit clerk again, who probably does nearly half of the printing within the county. I mean, she's the one that's using the majority of toner and printing supplies. So, I mean, if we were to focus on the heavier user printing, if we were to focus on those departments that have the most usage, you know. But
you understand, my predicament is the trend across corporate America is to go away from personal printers, go to more consolidated locations,
mm-hmm.
just because of the cost per copy.
Absolutely.
And copy and that's what everyone does. It's the first thing to do is take these smaller ones away and go to more groups.
And for instance, just with some of the example pricing that I do have, the reason why that is for the copying costs on a bigger machine can be down to less than half of a penny per page in black and white. Now, if we're printing to a personal laser printer on somebody's desk, we're talking about 1.1 pennies per page.
So at least twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did actually put together a spreadsheet that kind of averaged all these prices out, and we did have a fair amount of data that, because all of the print vendors that came through and audited
ask you a question here. Mr. Erickson, is this bid number, it's still active? Correct?
No.
We rejected all
bids.
Yeah, once it's rejected.
We're just now talking about, we're starting over basically. From a perspective of, we don't have an active bid, so we can talk freely.
What we thought was that we had a scenario wherein we might do something that fell under the bid levels, therefore we could move forward. I don't know that we're still there. But yeah. Wasn't the cost per copy that they came back like a hundredth of a cent, or not just half a cent, but a hundredth of a cent.
The whole reason we're doing this is to save money.
Well, yes, right. No matter if, and once we do, I think no matter what move we do make on any of the data I've collected here is going to be a savings. Just as soon as we start moving over into these copying machines that we can get a single vendor to support and basically take the county's volume and then buy toner and supplies with that volume. Right now, every department's working with these vendors individually, and they have all individual contracts, so they don't have the big volume to get the savings across every department.
I mean, I'm thinking something, and my concern is you're saying nearly half of our printing comes from a state office. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay. And as a county, we're paying... I mean, is that normal, Ron?
What do you mean by normal?
What do the other counties do?
There are the number of counties that provide a percentage of the cost of the state offices. pay a huge percent of the cost of the state offices. We're going to be at a conference, and I think it would behoove us to ask a lot of questions of a lot of different counties to see exactly how that's being handled. But
I'm almost wondering if I could get access to your spreadsheet, and then let's go to this conference and talk to some other. I have some counties I want to talk to, because I mean we're trying to come up with a solution to save money, and includes a state office that may be generating almost, let's say, 30 plus percent of our usage. And I want to know if other counties are spending that money on their print services also. And if we didn't take that into consideration, because how does that change the outlook of our design?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if...
Well, what you're saying is there's going to be an entire session upon this very subject at the MAC conference, and you want to wait until...
It's a big subject. You know, and we haven't had a discussion, but here's the discussion. Just because of an individual office, and I don't want to pick on that department, but like let me talk to Mr. Erickson. Should we say we don't give individual printers anymore if you're within 50 feet of a big printer? I mean, I guess the question is, we almost need to have a policy of what's a group printer, what's an individual printer? I mean, if we're not going, I mean, we just need to be consistent through the entire county system. And we haven't had that discussion, but the question is, you know, I think we need to have that conversation. Now that we're reopening the whole can of worms, I mean, obviously it's a big subject. That's why we went through the bid, and I think there's a savings there. My concern is if we start issuing a bunch of individual printers that cost two times more to print on.
Let me throw something out
please.
There as somewhat of an answer in response to that. The vendors themselves take on a huge portion of the responsibility for designing a right or correct system based on whatever the particular operation is.
Okay.
When these vendors, and there were five of them, I think, to start with, when they walked through all of these departments, they were sensitive to what you just mentioned.
Right.
They talked to the users, and they said, for instance, in the mapping department over here, they said, if we replaced all these little desk jets, ink jets, which are very costly, with one device in the middle of this room,
right,
would it be very inconvenient for you, Miss Entry-Level User, to have to walk over here to get it versus this very expensive inkjet that's sitting at your arm's reach?
Right.
In that instance, bless their hearts, they all said, no problem.
Okay.
Other departments, like the one we're talking about here, it would put an undue burden upon those particular employees,
sure,
throughout their daily normal functions, to walk away from a cubicle and make two or three maneuvers,
right,
down this hallway and that hallway and around that other cubicle to get to a centralized device. So we in our committee decided that there were areas that we needed to replace blow for blow, machine for machine.
Sure.
And the vendors recognize that too, because if they don't design the plan to fit our needs correctly, then it's going to fail.
Right.
Overall, the overall system's not going to function as they presented in their RFP. So, you know, that's what we've tried to do, and that's been a challenge for us to look at desktop devices versus one washing machine, as I call it. In my operation, for instance, I got three or four devices in my office that I inherited.
Right.
And I need one.
Right.
But if you took them all away, and I would have to walk down the hallway and over right next door to the commission office to get everything I need off that washing machine device, that would slow me down. That would be...
Productivity-wise, you wouldn't gain, you would lose because of the one-person office, all those things.
And when they walked through, when the vendors presented their case, they took that into consideration. They made allowances that, particularly in my office, they were replacing four machines with one. You know,
okay,
but it was one of these that's going to cost a little bit
so
more.
So your group,
CPC,
the group has already kind of did that analysis and says, this is the list we need.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my question then is the state offices. I need to understand that. And the next thing is,
we still have this option.
That's a whole sidebar thing that as a purchasing guy, I don't know what's state responsibility and what's ours. That's never.
Tell me if I'm right. You still have this as an option. You all have defined for us what machines we feel that the different elected officials and department heads have told us that they need.
I think so.
And we had an original bid, and one company bid on, if I'm remembering, 139 new machines throughout the entire
system.
That's
exactly right.
Did that replace everything?
Yes.
Even good machines that we have?
Yes.
If we wanted to do that. So 139 maximum, small machines, big machines, but what was needed throughout the system. The question then was, if we could step away and purchase those machines through either the state bid or through
AEPA, this is the target right now.
And just make that purchase, have the machines, they're here. Then we would bid a maintenance agreement, if you will, with a company to provide service to all those machines.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that, correct me if I'm wrong, there would be a savings that would start that would be pretty substantial throughout the system.
Yes.
Now, of course, the purchase would come out of our capital improvements line that we have, and we have the ability to do that. And I believe that on an annual basis, our county would save a considerable amount of money. Fair to say or not fair to say? Fair to say.
Yeah. I agree.
What happened was we really didn't, in the bids we received, they really weren't apples to apples.
No.
At least in the bids that we received. We thought we had an offer from a company that would come in under the 3-month or 90-day bid of $4,500 for that maintenance for an annual basis. So we're looking at $18,000. Takes care of everything except paper and
staples.
Everything. But what turned out was, in order for them to give us that low price per copy, we had to be buying all the great big machines and set those washing machines on a desk.
Exactly.
That wasn't going to work.
Right.
So when, in fact, we discovered that, then they started backpedaling and said, no. If we're going to put the small machines, then we're going to charge you too much.
Right.
Here's my point. If, in fact, we want to move forward, we can identify what those machines were. We can, in fact, bid those to where everyone has to bid apples to apples, and we can see what they're going to charge us for the maintenance of those machines, the different companies. We can do this in a bid process.
We'll have to. That will have to be bid.
Even if we were to buy the machines off of the contract,
yeah.
It still looks like right now we would have to still bid the maintenance.
The reason is, it's because it's going to cost more on the 90-day period than what we're allowed to do.
Well, not just that,
okay. But
within that same contract that we could purchase the machinery with under the umbrella of an existing awarded contract via the bid process, the CPC, the cost per copies that are offered in conjunction with those contracts are off the radar screen. They are unreasonable.
But that's because they are offered through whomever it is that we're purchasing the machine from. Is that right?
I'm not sure if that's the case. It's just what we've seen is it's just high. I mean, it's almost in some cases twice as high as some of the unofficial information we've extracted.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Can't some local company come in and beat the cost that they're going to charge us per copy?
Yes. Yeah, and that's why we would want to bid it locally.
Right.
Want to bid that locally.
The contracts for the maintenance are not the most cost-effective route.
Right.
Because they are a fixed cost, and that's what they are. The local companies actually say, if you buy Kyocera, we can support them. These are our rates, and the local companies are more cost-effective. But if we want to deal with them, we have to just be very specific on our bid request and get an apples-to-apples bids from everybody. Yes.
It's specific to those devices, too.
For a local vendor that will support specifically those devices.
Here's what I need to know for my personal education. After we go through this, is it going to save us enough money for it to be worth it to the county?
Have you guys got cost analysis? Because I've heard having people say the same thing. And that's what they need to see as a cost analysis.
Well, I have all of the costs. I mean, one of the vendors came through and said, we're gonna replace 139 machines. I tore that whole thing apart, wrote down every model number. They were actually going to replace machines that we could buy off of the contract. It was a Kyocera model. I went to the contract and got all the pricing for exactly one of those models. I have the pricing for everything to buy off the contract right now. The only issue is do we want to do it all at once? Do we want to do certain departments at once? I mean, if we were to do the whole thing off of what I've found, it's $217,000. So then that would be, that'd be clean sweep. That'd be clean sweep countywide.
Is there somebody that is out there that works for one of these companies that we can hire?
What would they do for us?
Maintain all the systems that we have, rather than pay the maintenance cost to some other company that obviously is going to send the same person to us.
I don't think it's a full-time job.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Not to get new machines?
No. All it's going to be is swapping out toner cartridges and...
And just to address this one real sticky issue concerning what Rick brought up, cost analysis, full for blow, penny for penny, it would be very difficult to do that, because what we don't have is we don't have our hands completely around some of these purchases where Mary's machine quit working and she ran to Walmart and got some cartridges
and she bought
on her P card.
We can't track that.
And then you would have to take into consideration the time away from her desk, the time, because that's how the vendors come down to the CPC. That's how they sell it. They put together a cost analysis like that says, okay, we're going to take care of all your toner so that Mary doesn't have to run to the store to either get ink or toner and be away from her desk X amount of minutes or hours of that day and lose that productivity. Difficult to put your hands around that. So we may not be able to say, yeah, we can save exactly $2,000 a month, but that's pretty close to the amount of just in toner that we're spending, $2,100 a month in toner.
That's just toner.
That would be exchanged. You would exchange that expense for the CPC.
Right.
And we're still paying CPC on some stuff now, so it's almost like a moving target, but we've put a lot of time and effort in trying to get as close, and he's got some spreadsheets.
We're spending, just so you guys understand, and I think these are important numbers to have, is we're spending $2,000 a month in toner, and then I think we're spending comparable to that amount in ink for the ink jets that we have scattered across the whole county.
So we're talking about $48,000 to $50,000 just for ink and for toner.
Right. Now when we go with this pricing, even though it is a little bit individualized based on what type of machine we're using, I still have come up that I think we can get our total print cost for all of the toner. We move everybody over to a laser printer of some sort, whether it's a copier or a personal laser printer. I'm confident we could probably get our toner cost down to less than $2,000 a month.
Which is what it was.
That's just for toner, but that doesn't include... Well, that's ink. We're paying
basically cut it in half. $48,000 to $24,000 a year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So $24,000 a year is what we'll save.
Mm-hmm.
Best estimates right now.
Right.
And that doesn't include the time away from work.
Right. No. This is just hard cost, not the soft cost associated with return on investment.
But in order to do that, I'm going to have to buy X amount of machines. And it may be half of what was there because we've got some of the good. So I'm guessing and surmising that when the good machines go kaput, then you buy them.
We replace them with more efficient machines.
So we buy 75 machines. We're looking at...
Right. And that was why I said, how do you want me to present this to you? Do you want to do the whole clean sweep, or do we want to focus on certain
departments? But it's obvious the inkjets is a whole lot more expensive to maintain than laser.
Mm-hmm.
So I would almost say, let's identify the inkjets, because that's a quicker return on investment,
mm-hmm.
plus the equipment that is causing us a lot of trouble, which is high maintenance costs for older equipment. There's some equipment that's relatively new that's probably running pretty good, efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
I would think we want to identify the most expensive pieces we've got in the system, if we're going to do it that way, and try to recoup some quick revenues.
Do you think that these individual companies will bid maintenance of all new machines plus the old machines that are here?
They get very specific on what machines they support and will actually maintain. So vendor A may not support machines that are Konica, Minolta, or a Savin, You know, they have specific vendors that they only work with to...
There's only two Kyocera vendors if we focus on Kyocera, and
right.
that's what we've been doing via the AEPA contract. One of those vendors is, and I'll mention it, Corporate Business Systems, and they already have lots of machines here. They could continue to service those machines. We wouldn't have to worry about those expenses. They're still performing miraculously. The other vendor, by an email, has declined any for future participation. Not interested. Thank you very much. They reached the end of their waiting period. They're not interested in participating in any way, shape, or form, maintenance or otherwise.
You're right. You guys are going to have to keep me updated on what you're trying to do, because I hear you say that you're going to save $24,000 a year, and then you're talking about replacing $214,000 worth of machines in one proposal. That's 10 years. Those machines are wore out in that period of time, so you've not accomplished.
Right, that's why you can't do a forklift replacement thing.
So that's...
We wouldn't need to.
So you have
right.
to eliminate that.
That's what we're trying to get to is what
I'm trying to do is try to figure out, you need to be eliminating things and saying we've got certain amount of machines that we need to replace right now.
That are costing us to operate.
Bring those to us with a maintenance fee on those particular machines.
And this phase the solution
And then
in.
Phase it in. But that's the only thing I can see, because we're not accomplishing anything. We've whipped this horse to death. We're trying to win the race here with
he's still going.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing of it is, we're trying to save a dollar, and we've just absolutely figured everything out. We're going to have to cut, and we've got new machines that don't need it, and those machines that are going to be 10 years old save a little bit of money. They're going to be wore out, so.
Well, the other number to keep in mind was for one of the vendors that wanted to basically give us, they were going to do the maintenance, and then they were going to basically either lease us the machines.
Right, they're going to replace the equipment for us.
They were going to replace it for us, but the monthly cost on that was over $5,000 per month.
But that included Tundra, didn't it?
It did include, everything. It included everything.
But see, my thing is, that makes more sense, because we're paying $4,000 in toner and ink now, and they're going to put an extra $1,000,
right.
and they're in charge of all the equipment, and we don't have to come up with the $214. It's starting to look like a better solution.
I said that back in January.
I'm thinking let them have the whole problem
too. But
the only problem I came up with that is you have $3,000 to $4,000 a month that we're actually basically paying a finance charge on the equipment.
Right.
And that was a 72-month contract.
Right.
So, I mean, to take that over, what, 6 years?
6 years what they asked for, I think.
Yeah. I mean, $3,000, so $36,000.
So can you come back to us and say, this is the equipment I am recommending to replace, because this will give us the biggest net savings. Mm. Can you come back to us and say, okay, these ink, do you have a list of those?
Inkjet.
Yeah, whatever you're going to save us the most money. I mean,
yeah.
is it
the...
Inkjet's
got to go away.
Oh, they've got to go. This is the first one.
I mean, I'm thinking inkjets and old copiers.
How do we... Okay, here's another... Yes, I can come up with that. I've got all the data to put together a list of here's the biggest offenders.
Oh, no. At 8 minutes, I'm leaving.
How do we, once we do that, we replace them, how do we make it so other departments don't buy another inkjet on the side and just start?
They come to you and get the same type machine.
We can take all the equipment purchases at our department in the budget process, which we did 2 years ago. We took all the equipment.
2 years ago, and so you guys have the option.
We froze it. Remember, we took all the equipment and put it in the purchasing.
We're concerned about between now and the end of the year when they're most likely to make the purchases.
There's not very much equipment line in most of those. I think the circuit equipment has some equipment line.
The other thing is, we could make a policy that our IT department won't connect it to our network. We have that ability too. It's the data infrastructure is the counties, which we maintain.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just quickly say, if it's not approved equipment, we don't have to hook it to our network.
And on the positive side, what you could do is you could put out a memo that, hey, look, we're trying to move towards getting everybody in the same printing copier mode so that we can save the county money. And I think that they would probably, most of your elected officials department, going to listen to that. They're doing positive.
solutions that the vendors offer in that scenario is when they have somebody that's screaming bloody murder, don't take my inkjet away. They allow
emergency exec calls on now. That's what it's called. Guys, we have a legal issue that we postponed until this time. We need to get there.
Can you come back to us? Get those numbers and come back?
Yeah. We have been.
Well, yeah, I'll keep coming back.
Well, do you have that list?
Thanks, Rick. I don't have that data into this. This just says the cost of the equipment and which department.
I need that list because I think we're going to do a half step.
What?
Is it an 800 calling number?
No.
I need a motion to go into exec.
I thought you were trying to
make a joke.
No, because I'm leaving.
At the end of this executive session, concluded for the day.
Is this on the litigation, or what is the one we're going in?
Legal update. We'll go back.
Legal update.
Motion to go to executive pursuant 610.21.12312.
Second.
Please enter your account code.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to the sections so quoted. Discussion, all in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Hey, Mark.
Ron aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. Please turn this off, Stacy. We're going right into executive.